have a nice hand for Brian Sand and the quintet. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. My name is David Harp from the Department of Chemistry, of all places. We deal with the law from time to time, in a good way, I'm sure. And you hear the piper coming, and I think it would be a nice touch if you would give a hand to the piper when he comes in with the students as they are coming in just to your immediate right. And we'll be back to talk to you in just a little bit. nice hand for the Piper. It's my pleasure to introduce you to the Dean of Students, Andre Kostopoulos, who has some important words about the possible wind issues that aren't going to come up but could come up. So we need to cover all our legal bases here by doing that, and he's going to cover them right now.
Good afternoon. You will find at the back of your program instructions for evacuation in the very, very unlikely case that we do have to evacuate the tent. It's happened in the past, so take it seriously. In the case of evacuation, stay calm, follow the instructions of the ushers. The students and the families and friends will be evacuated probably to different areas because you are in different areas of the tent. You will be reunited as soon as possible. Do not try to find each other in the evacuation. This will create chaos, which is a bad thing. Si jamais la tente devait être évacuée, s'il vous plaît, suivez les instructions qui sont à l'arrière de votre programme. Suivez les instructions des placiers. Soyez calme. Vous allez être évacué à différents endroits, peut-être pas au même endroit que vos amis ou que vos enfants. On va vous réunir aussitôt que possible. N'essayez pas de vous retrouver au milieu de l'évacuation. Please stay safe. Have a great ceremony. À plus tard.
There are a few minutes before the platform party arrives, and I should point out that the large chair in the middle is occupied by our Chancellor, Michael Meehan. He controls or coordinates the entire ceremony situation. Now, I'd like to mention a few things to you, but I need first to indicate that there's been a recent remarkable invention by the engineering faculty that a photograph can be taken at significant distance that actually recognizes your face and delivers the address that you will eventually be at later on, should I need your services for some other kind of unfortunate reason. So we know where you live, and we know your grades as well. The key thing is that you have your lineup cards in hand. Don't leave them, please, on your seat, under your seat, or in a pocket that you can't remember. This is usually for the gentlemen who have 11 pockets and they can't find them, and they come to the stage and they're searching for that elusive lineup card, because the lineup card has your name and, of course, your numbers. You want to check this while you're in line over on the side. I will get you out of your seats when the appropriate time comes, but what you want to do is to have that lineup card split in half. Make sure you keep it with you, and you give it to the reader on the side who will read your name appropriately, and then you take the other half of the lineup card. You go to this, you will be tapped or capped in the middle. That will be explained soon enough. And then you come and go down the stairs to receive your diploma. If there's an error in your diploma, and we've maybe had two of these in the last 8 years, so it hardly ever happens. But what you need to do is return them at this time, and it probably can be fixed up in some appropriate kind of way. So there's a mirror, as you may see, on the left-hand side, so you can sort out your hairdo and your hatdo and everything else. If you're having a bad hair day, fix it there, because you're going to be on national, I won't say national, I'll say international broadcast, because this is being broadcast everywhere, not just to campus offices. And many do watch this from their office who are unable to come to the ceremony or simply are just, for some reason, amused by all of these lawyers in one place at one time, which is maybe an all-time record. I'm not sure about that. But it is being broadcast, streamed live around the world, so many of you may already know that. And you can retrieve these videos anytime after about a day before they are simply put up and published. So the ceremony will start with a singing of the alma mater. Winston Purdy from the music faculty will carry that off on the left, on your left-hand side of the stage. And then the ceremonies will begin. There will be a speech by a short speech by the chancellor, a fairly short speech by the principal. There will be an honorary degree, teaching awards, and your Dean Jutra will be eloquent, I am sure, with a speech toward the end of the ceremony that has, we've asked that be relatively short, but we're not always sure how that's going to pan out, and I think you already know that from knowing Dean Jutra. He has a lot to say, and he says it very, very well. So the platform party will come into the tent, and you can hear the piper. This is Jeff McCarthy. He is the same piper that pipes down at Ogilvy's in the noon hour, if you've ever seen him. And he goes down there, pipes at lunch, comes back, has a quick bite to eat, and then takes the platform party into the tent and up onto the stage. So if you want to applaud a little bit when they come in, as you did with the graduates, that would be a nice touch. I think they are used to not being applauded, but they are the faculty for the most part. In addition, of course, the chancellor, chair of the board, and Principal Fortier will be the last people coming into the tent. So when you hear the piper coming into that exit spot to your right, you would ask you to rise and to give them a bit of applause as they come in. The ceremony should not take too long, depending on Dean Jutra. And once in a previous dean, the chancellor said that the dean would be erudite, sophisticated, and short in his speech. And after it was over, the then chancellor, different chancellor from this one, said, well, looking at the dean, 2 out of 3 isn't bad, which I thought was pretty funny. But anyway, as they're coming in, levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, please rise for the platform party. Thank you, Professor Purdy. Good afternoon, graduating students, families, friends, ladies and gentlemen, bonjour à tous. As Chancellor, on behalf of McGill University, it is my great pleasure to welcome you to the 2015 convocation ceremony for students graduating from the Faculty of Law. This is a great day for you, our graduates. Congratulations to each and every one of you. Even more so, it's a momentous day for your parents, spouses, friends, supporters, and in many cases, it has been their sacrifice and encouragement that has led to your success, which we are celebrating today. Votre présence à cette cérémonie en si grand nombre démontre votre attachement à McGill, et j'espère que cet attachement deviendra un lien bénéfique pour vous et pour McGill tout au long de votre vie. Now, you'll be receiving lots of praise for your hard work and accomplishments, and deservedly so. But you'll also be receiving lots of advice, and from multiple sources, parents, friends, relatives, professors, and even from total strangers. And even though I told myself that I wouldn't do it, I confess that I'm going to join this group and give you some advice. But rest easy, it will be short, and perhaps in due course, you might even consider it to be good advice. You've achieved a great deal, but as you well know, there's much left to do. Today is just a stop on your life's journey. It's not the destination. When you leave, use your knowledge and skill that you've acquired here at McGill to try many things. Be bold, chase after your dreams, and go down many paths. But above all, do not be afraid to seek knowledge and adventure. Because in doing so, you will no doubt enjoy great success. But you will also, from time to time, stumble and fall. You will fail. You will make mistakes. It's inevitable. But as James Joyce said, mistakes are the portals of discovery. Or put another way by Winston Churchill, all of us make mistakes, but only the wise learn from their mistakes. Le conseil que je me permets de vous donner, c'est de ne pas craindre l'échec. Car bien que nous apprenions beaucoup par le succès, il y a davantage de leçons précieuses qui découlent de l'échec. It's what you learn from experiences that go sideways and how you recover from them that will enrich your life journey and grow you as human beings. The author of the famous Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, persevered at writing even though her first book was rejected by some 12 publishers. She told a graduating class at Harvard, "You may never fail on the scale that I did, but it is impossible to live without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all, in which case you fail by default." Successful people learn from their mistakes or failures and look forward. They don't look back and brood. They learn and move on. So go out there and try many things. Focus on a few. Don't be afraid to fail. Because it's from these depths, from failure, that you learn the most, and especially how to savor the sweet taste of success. Alors, bonne chance à vous tous, et congratulations to one and all. Je voudrais maintenant demander à la professeure Fortier, notre principale et vice-chancelière, de s'adresser à l'auditoire. Madame Fortier.
Bienvenue aux finissants de 2015. Welcome to the graduating class of 2015. I'm joined here today by your families and friends, by our chancellor, the chair of the board, board members, our chancellors, governors, and principals emeriti, by our distinguished honorary degree recipient, by award recipients, by special guests and esteemed colleagues. And we are here together to express how proud we are of you and of everything that has brought you here today. C'est pour moi un immense bonheur de vous féliciter pour vos réalisations et votre persévérance. Savor today, enjoy it, celebrate. I also ask you to take a moment to remember all the people who have supported you through your studies. Today is a very special day for them as well. Now, class of 2015, I would like to ask you to stand up, please. Please stand up. Now, look around the room and give a big round of applause to all the people who have supported you. Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. Vous pouvez vous asseoir. Merci. Today is a day of celebration. Today is also bittersweet. You may not believe me now, but I think that you're going to miss McGill and you're going to miss your classes. Now, maybe not just yet, but I think it will come. And I say that out of experience, because since I've returned to my alma mater, I've been to many classes, and I've enjoyed them tremendously. There's one in particular that I've been to many, many times, and that is the Master Voice class in the Schulich School of Music. The class is held at a perfect time for me. It's Saturday night, so what a better time to go to class. But even though it's a good fit for my schedule, I wasn't able to go to the last class, and I can tell you that I'm already missing it and hoping that September will come faster that I can return to it. Now, the professor of the class once said to me, he said, you know, you've been here so often, it's like you're one of the students. And I said to him, you know, that's not fair to the students. I come here, I sit, I enjoy the performance from the student. I just have a great time. I do no work at all. And then I added, and quite honestly, believe me, you would not want me to sing. Now, he surprised me by what he said next. He said, can you breathe? Well, of course I can breathe. Well, then he said, if you can breathe, you can sing. Now, please don't worry, I'm not going to sing right now, but I do like this idea. If you can breathe, you have a voice. And looking at you on your graduation day and thinking of what you have accomplished, I know that you have a voice. And I think it is enormously important that you use your voice. You have a mind that knows how to learn. You have determination and you have talent. You have ideas of your own. Now use your voice to take those gifts into the world. Use your voice to share your knowledge with others and share their knowledge. Use your voice to ask questions. Use your voice to stand up for what you believe in. And use your voice to help other people find their own voice. This afternoon, we have fantastic role models. People like our honorary degree recipient, who we will hear from in a few minutes, Professor Marty Kosgianemi. Also, our provost, Anthony Massey. As you may know, this is one of Professor Massey's last convocations as provost. Tony has brought a wealth of outstanding qualities to his nearly 10 years as provost at McGill. He's a distinguished scholar, a devoted teacher, and an inspired leader. He has left his mark on the learning environment at McGill, bringing to it both excellence and innovation. And he's a visionary with a keen sense of where McGill should be headed. Please join me in thanking Provost Tony Massey for devoting his talent, expertise, and his voice to make McGill a better university. Grazie mille, Tony. I hope that you can all enjoy a bit of time to celebrate and to relax before the next verse in your life. Mais si vos classes vous manquent et si votre alma mater vous manque, je vous invite à revenir chez vous, à McGill, le plus souvent possible. Les portes vous seront toujours très, très grandes ouvertes. And please keep in touch. We all look forward to hearing all of your voices in the days and years ahead. Félicitations.
Thank you, Principal Fortier. I now invite Professor Angela Campbell to introduce this year's winner of the John W. Durnford Teaching Excellence Award. Professor Campbell.
Madame la vice-chancelière, j'ai l'honneur de vous présenter le professeur Frédéric Bachand, récipiendaire du prix John W. Durnford d'excellence en enseignement pour l'année 2015. En reconnaissant ce professeur comme une pédagogue exceptionnelle, les étudiants de la faculté de droit de McGill ont montré leur discernement et leur qualité d'appréciation. Très justement, nos étudiants reconnaissent ici un professeur emblématique de la mission pédagogique qui est au cœur de notre faculté, enseigner le droit dans une perspective transsystémique au sens le plus large. Les termes utilisés par les étudiants pour témoigner des qualités justifiant la nomination du professeur Bachand à ce prix Durnford, qui nous brosse un tableau éloquent de ce professeur, sont notamment un dynamisme incomparable, une passion contagieuse, une disponibilité généreuse, un dévouement exceptionnel, un grand sérieux pédagogue. He is someone who is energetic, they say, prepared, an incredible teacher, thought-provoking, toujours de bonne humeur, and he is kind. As his colleagues, all members of the McGill Faculty of Law, know Professor Bachand also as someone whose energy, skill, rigor, commitment to the university, and integrity are, in a word, boundless. He is an exemplar to which we might all aspire. For his courses, Judicial Institutions and Civil Procedure, Evidence and Statutory Interpretation, I am honored to present to you, Madam Vice Chancellor, Professor Frédéric Bachand for the John W. Durnford Teaching Excellence Award.
Thank you, Professor Campbell. I'd now like to ask Professor Daniel Joutras, Dean of the Faculty of Law, to present Professor Marty Koskenniemi, that he may have conferred upon him the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant. Dean Joutras.
Mr. Chancellor, I have the honor of presenting to you a world-class practitioner of international law, a respected diplomat, and one of the most influential legal scholars of his generation, Professor Marty Koskenniemi. Marty Koskenniemi is Professor of International Law and Director of the Erik Castrén Institute of International Law and Human Rights at the University of Helsinki. He's also held appointments and taught as a visiting professor at the world's greatest universities. Before joining the University of Helsinki, Professor Koskenniemi had a most distinguished diplomatic career in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Finland as a member of the permanent mission of Finland to the United Nations and as counsel before the International Court of Justice. Monsieur le chancelier, il peut vous paraître un peu étonnant que la faculté de droit veuille honorer un juriste finlandais aussi prolifique soit-il. Outre le climat rigoureux et les longs hivers que nous partageons, les liens entre McGill et la Finlande sont ténus. Mais Martti Koskenniemi est bien plus qu'un simple professeur finlandais. Il est l'un des plus importants, sinon le plus important, penseur du droit international à l'heure actuelle. S'ajoutant à une liste de plus de 150 articles scientifiques publiés en 5 langues à travers le monde, ses 3 monographies parues récemment ont imposé une redéfinition complète du droit international. These books are game changers. They've been described as the source of intoxicating intellectual liberation. Exceptionally powerful works that revolutionize the ways in which we can understand both international legal discourse and its history. Professor Koskenniemi's scholarship embodies a key message that is reminiscent of our faculty's intellectual climate. Where law presents itself as timeless and universal, dig deeper to reveal context, particularity, and hidden interests. Move away from the obvious and the familiar. Consider law from alternative perspectives, as he says, to diminish the power of blindness. One author beautifully describes Martti Koskenniemi's scholarship with an image that captures McGill's aspirations for its own students. Quote, all of his thought is located on ridges, exposed to the open air and to multiple horizons, vibrant, strong, fertile, never restricted to its own confines or inward looking, but on the contrary, in constant interrelation with other worlds, other cultures, and other voices. Mr. Chancellor, for the wisdom and insight that he has brought to the teaching and practice of international law, and for his cosmopolitan and humanistic spirit, I respectfully present to you Professor Martti Koskenniemi, so that you may confer upon him the degree of Doctor of Law, honoris causa.
J'invite maintenant le professeur Martti Koskenniemi à prononcer son discours.
Chancellor, Principal, Dean Jutras, ladies and gentlemen, above all, the graduates. Why study law at university? It seems obvious for most people that physics, anthropology, and rocket science belong to the world of the academy. It may be unfortunate that the English word science is only rarely applied to law. Even in French, les sciences juridiques sounds a bit pompous, though not wrong, and in the German, Wissenschaft is unproblematically applied to law. The popular image of science still fills the mind's eye by white coats and expensive laboratories. It includes, of course, that of the mad scientist, the nutty professor, that hardly connotes with the professor of law, I think. But law not only has a rightful place at the university. With theology and medicine, it became one of the 3 higher faculties at medieval universities, accessible only once the lower faculty of philosophy had been completed. To be in a higher faculty meant, and I suggest still means, that study is designed to have a practical effect. Practical in the Aristotelian sense, directed at human flourishing. Medicine was to bring about the flourishing of the human body. Theology, the flourishing of the human soul. Law was and is meant to realize the happiness of human beings as social animals. Law was and is the science of the flourishing of the human community. Like theology and medicine, law is both a craft and a practice of intellectual reflection. This, of course, you graduates will feel very concretely once you leave the one and enter the other, or that's what you think. As types of craft, higher faculties aim at practical intervention in human life, the life of the body, the life of the soul, and the life of the individual as a member of community. The medical doctor, the priest, the judge. These are the experts whose craft is to contribute to human flourishing in practice. We meet them dressed up in white, black, or purple, the colors symbolically pointing beyond the single doctor, the single priest, or the single judge, pointing to whole systems of ideas whose home the academy is. The experts' dress and other formalities, such as these, the complex liturgy, remind us that behind the craft, there are centuries of intellectual work at institutions we call universities. Universitas is a community of students and teachers, and not, for example, financial consultants or managing directors. What unites the community is its orientation to human flourishing. That is its intellectual assignment, the point of the craftsmanship that you graduates have now received. Flourishing of the body, the soul, the community. Legal academics study the human being as a member of different communities. There is the family, and family law is not just about marriage and succession. It's also about the reflection on the justice of partnership and relations between parents and children. And then there is the polis, the state. Constitutional law reminds us that to be a citizen of a state is not just to be a cog in an administrative machine, but to work with one's peers for the good life that can only be realized in community. And then finally, the international community, the object of my own discipline, international law. What might flourishing mean there? Earlier this year, a report was released by Oxfam according to which in 2014, the richest 1% of human beings owned 48% of global wealth, and that if the present trend continues by 2016, by next year, the richest 1% will own more than the remaining 99%. This is not an image of a flourishing global community. If law were medicine, we would say the community is sick. If we were theologians, we would say it has lost its soul. As lawyers, it compels us to recognize the extreme injustice of the world, but it also provides our universities and law faculties with a mission: to cure the world, to repair its soul. Therefore, graduates, ladies and gentlemen, law is an academic discipline. There is a point to all that. It is not just about managing bureaucratic processes or deciding cases. It is also to reflect upon ideal futures that contrast with present practices. What would it be for a community of the world to flourish? It is to answer that question that law has a rightful place in the academy, and that lawyers, as practitioners, should find themselves with. Equality and justice are large and abstract words, easily misunderstood, overused. Therefore, in the law faculties from Helsinki to Montreal, jurists from communities, universitates, imagine how to make those words more of a reality. We speak of scientific revolutions. That word, revolution plays an important role in the science of our law faculties too, not to prepare for the next research assessment exercise, but because nothing less can make the world of humans flourish. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Koskenniemi. Thank you for those inspiring words, and I suspect we're all jealous of the students with whom you interact at the University of Helsinki. Perhaps in another career we may have that opportunity. Who knows? We'll now proceed with the conferral of academic degrees, and I invite the Provost, Anthony Massey, to commence the formal proceedings. Professor Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. I'm pleased to invite the students graduating from programs of study in the Faculty of Law to come forward for the conferral of their degrees. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the Chancellor, the Principal, or the Chair of the Board of Governors. Students receiving their first university degree shall remove their mortarboard hat. At center stage, they will be symbolically capped, signaling ceremonially the conferral of the degree. Students who have already earned a university degree keep their mortarboard on their heads and will be congratulated by a tap on the shoulder. Let me repeat, no university degree, remove the hat, get capped. Already have a university degree, keep the hat on and get tapped. Parents, friends, and I'm sure students themselves will be pleased to know that in most cases, capping and tapping are done lightly. The dean of the faculty will also greet each student and take a photo with him or her while they are still on the stage. The parchment itself will be given to each student after she or he leaves the stage. During this week of convocations at McGill, you may have noticed some students wearing red or white scarves. Self-identifying Aboriginal students, First Nations, Inuit, and Métis, are entitled to wear graduation scarves at convocation, in the community, and at any and all future McGill events that they attend. The red scarf is for those receiving a degree, and the white for those getting a diploma or certificate. The feather has two meanings, respect for the person and marking an amazing or special event. The Confederacy belt signifies attachment to and respect for the land on which we live, and the turtle symbolizes the inclusiveness of all nations and respect for diversity. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de McGill, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'université, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill's Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's official list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor Rosalie Jukier to introduce the graduates and Professor Daniel Jutra, Dean of the Faculty of Law, to congratulate all of these graduating students. We begin with graduate students followed by undergraduate students. Congratulations, class of 2015. Félicitations.
It is my great pleasure to read the names of the students in this year's graduating class. Please note that prizes, scholarships, and honors earned by individual students are listed in your programs. Mr. Chancellor, for the degree of Doctor of Civil Law in Air and Space Law, Diane Howard.
Alejandro Jose Piera Valdez. For the degree of Doctor of Civil Law in Law, Alexandra Harrington. Alain Parent. Richao Zhang. For the degree of Master of Laws in Air and Space Law, Mathieu Vaugeois. For the degree of Master of Laws in Law, Tomilola Damilola Adebiyi. Eliza Kate Bateman. Vincent Dalpé. Stephanie Elizabeth Chipier. Yavaron Turcotte. Jessica Jolie Hébert. Wei-Si Kong. Ariane Laferrière. Bradley Alexander Poor. Sandus Rafa. Julia Conchetta Raimondo. Juan Sebastian Rodriguez Alacon. Stéphanie Roy. Shahad Salman. Mr. Chancellor, for the degrees of Bachelor of Civil Law and Bachelor of Laws, Melissa Aboud. Ruben Abitbol. Sandra Oshuare Ibinode. Vivian Albuquerque. Clarissa Louise Allen. François Arsenault. Rachel Atkinson. Luca Luigi Barone. Marie-Laurence Basque. Alisa Batsios.
Alexandra Belly McKinnon. Nicolas Benoit Gay. William Bjornson. Lillian Mary Bachter. Alexandra Bornak. Jeremy Boulanger Bonelli, Amy Jeffrey on medal. Ludovic Bourdage. Vincent Bourgeois. James Peter Berman. Dara Adam Byrne. Antoine Champagne. Sheil Sebastian Chowdhury. Martha Rebecca Aldist Churchco. Jonathan Chong. Paul Anami Chong. Stephanie Ann Clark. Miriam Jennifer Cloutier. Howard Ross Cohn. Moshe Avraham Cohn. Laura Krestal. Eleanor Jan Daly. Laura Nathalie Damcourt. Katarina Daniels. Austin Charles Del Rio. Alain-Henri Deschamps. Constance Deschênes-Saint-Pierre. Dominique Defruchot. James Duffy. Jonathan Gary Elston. Leva Rivka Feldman. Weihu Fang. Evita Lourdes Pedrick Ferreira. Aude Isabelle Florin. Menachem Friedman. Marco Zicat Garofalo. Rémi Gauvin. Amanda Garimani. François Giasson. Tyler Robin Gettle. Emily Giselle Gravel. Samuel John Greg Wallace. Antoine Grandin Couture. David Michael Miller Groves. Claire Gunner. Catherine Ann Hamill. Rana Hussein Hatata. Emily Zaina Hazlett. Kai Shan He. Paul Holden. Alexandra Elizabeth Hughes. John David Hutchings. Alexander Max Jarvie. Sarah Catani. Olivia Kazem. In Hong Kim. Ji-Yun Roselle Kim. Helen Jane Neal. Hugo Charles Lafreniere. Catherine Le Guerrier, Principal David L. Johnston Medal. Pierre Neville Lermusio. Alexandre Le Sarre. Michael Le Sarre. Emily Elizabeth MacArthur. Jacqueline Michelle Madden. Jessica Maganet. Megan Louise Ma. Charlotte Ann Louise Malachewski. Daniel Jeffrey Mustine. Alexandre Michel Michaud. Bennett William Miskey. Arad Mojtahedi. Caitlin Hannah Morin. Tanya Nakul. Sarah Elizabeth Newcomb. Tan Nguyen. David Nugent. Ngozi Chinwe Okidabe. Alexandra Ashley Olszewski. Moira Ann O'Neill. Elsa Paparimbord. Jason Paperman. Marjorie Rose Pasdor. Justin Pemani. Angèle Armel Peria Amédée. Mark Phillips. Vincent Piché. David Eric Plotkin. Jacinthe Poisson. Matthew Quadrini. Olga Redko. Allison Michelle Render, Elizabeth Torrance Gold Medal. Kiran Eleanor Simran Ross. Jacqueline Shira Roniak. Marc Roy. Laura Andrea Saavedra. Gabrielle Serena Bellil. Ariane Simard. Angela Slater. Katie Spillane. Alexander James Spraggs. Jessica Stark. Jennifer Stewart. Dan Sue. Andrea Surland. Mathieu Antoine Dussault-Swiderski. Kaylee Amber Sykes. Francesca Taddeo. Frédéric Thibault. Brittany Claire Trafford. Christopher Henry Trevisono. Megan Elizabeth Vandenhoff. Jessica Claire Walsh. Caitlin Weatherly. Dove Whitman. Daniel Wilbend. Julie Ann Wilson. Hannah Wiseman Cartier. Nancy Raymond Zagbayou. Christopher Marek Zawadzki. Garrett Jordan Nicholas Zair. Derek Herbert William Zeisman. Daniel Zeppitelli. Joey Abraham Zuckren. And Alba Stella Zuniga Ramos.
Thank you, Professor Jukier. I invite Mr. David Groves to say a few words as this year's valedictorian.
The dean told me I could talk as long as I want, as long as it's funny. So I'll keep it brief. Mr. Chancellor, members of the platform party, fellow graduates, and guests. D'habitude, le rôle de valedictorien est de mettre en valeur nos réalisations collectives au cours des quatre dernières années. Et réalisations, il y a eu. We are here today at the culmination of 4 years of awards received, papers published, jobs secured, degrees earned, but also, as if not more importantly, new friendships formed, weddings celebrated, babies born, and new passions discovered. C'est avec fierté et de bon droit que nous nous réjouissons aujourd'hui de nos succès. Et loin de moi l'idée de les minimiser de quelque manière que ce soit. Mais voilà, en bon libre penseur, formé à McGill, vous me permettrez de vous présenter la beauté du revers de la médaille, à savoir l'échec. Yes, I would like to talk about failure. I realize the Chancellor has already spoken on it. Hopefully I will have something to add. And I appreciate also, I do appreciate it's annoyingly contrarian of me to choose this time to talk about failure at this moment of such great success. But I only just stopped being a law student, which means my being contrarian is still in my DNA at the moment. So bear with me. Everyone here, success aside, has struggled. Take a second to think of all the missteps that led up to this point. The terrible job interviews, the incoherent papers, all the times your take-home exam software crashed because you left Netflix open. Everyone had their colossal errors of judgment, their missed deadlines, their comic misunderstandings. No one was immune, and I include myself in this. I still have vivid, terrible flashbacks of my worst job interview in law school, a performance of such tremendous incompetence that I wound up, and I'm still not entirely sure how, talking about hippopotamus farming for 10 minutes straight. Even the interviewer was embarrassed. Mais loin d'en avoir honte, nous devrions nous réjouir de nos échecs, ou à tout le moins en réaliser leur valeur. Because while unending success might make you a great lawyer, the occasional failure will make you a good person. See, success is great, but it can be pretty isolating. Inevitably, we owe our success to those who supported and guided us, many of whom are here today, our friends, our families, our peers, and our professors. But to succeed is to distinguish yourself, literally to make yourself distinct from other people. Tout le monde ne gagne pas tout le temps, et plus on gravit l'échelle du succès, plus le risque de s'isoler s'accroît. C'est le paradigme de la solitude des grands. It's hard to connect with others, or even to understand them, if all you ever do is succeed. But failure, oh sweet failure, we all share it. It's like a big pie that we collectively left in the oven for too long while we were studying contracts. To err is human, and erring is inescapably part of being alive. Et rappelez-vous des meilleures conversations que vous avez eues au cours des quatre dernières années, les fois où vous avez le plus ri, les amitiés les plus fortes que vous avez formées. Ce n'est pas tant nos succès qui nous ont permis de tisser ces liens qui caractérisent notre promotion, mais c'est plutôt l'unité dont nous avons fait preuve dans l'adversité. We were sharing embarrassing stories. We were opening up and being vulnerable. We were coming together over a warm slice of failure pie. Really, we never connect better than we do when we connect over our universal human capacity to screw up. So our failures can be great gifts, if we acknowledge them. They can teach us understanding, forgiveness, and vulnerability. Failures breed empathy. Empathy breeds friendship and compassion. And friendship and compassion are precisely the tools we need to take this chaotic mess of rules that we call law and make it do something good. And if this is our collective responsibility, to do something good in the world with the knowledge we now have, then accepting and even taking pride in our failures is essential. Donc, soyez fiers de vos réalisations accumulées au cours des quatre dernières années. You've earned them, and it's been a pleasure and an honor to be here with you all. But please, as you make your way through life, pushing and pulling to make a living, to make a case, and hopefully to make a difference, never forget your failures. Ce sont là les meilleures leçons que la vie nous offre. Merci.
Thank you very much. It's now my pleasure to invite Dean Daniel Jutra to address the graduating class. Dean Jutra.
I think I should have known better than to speak after David Groves.
Diplômé de la promotion de 2015, c'est avec un immense plaisir que je prends la parole pour vous exprimer au nom de mes collègues toute la fierté qui nous habite ce matin.
Look at us up here on the stage, beaming with pride over your wonderful accomplishments. Look at the members of the class of 1965, also with us on the stage, sharing your pride as new and old McGill alumni, and a bit nostalgic for a time 50 years ago when they sat in your seat with an extraordinary life ahead of them. Look around you to the hyperactive BCL, LLBs, the cosmopolitan masters, the learned doctorates in red robes sitting way over there, jumping up and down with pride. And also take a moment to look behind you at your parents, spouses, children, family, friends, all watery-eyed and also full of pride. Toute une salle habitée par la fierté. layers upon layers of pride, something like a club sandwich of pride and relief, I might add.
La tradition veut que le doyen de la faculté ait le dernier mot à la collation des grades, but I'm not blind to the fact that everyone here is begging for this ceremony to end so we can all go for an ice cream cone. So I must keep it short, 10 minutes or so, to finally explain what these 4 years were all about, to unveil the big picture, to bring it all together in the grand moment of revelation that you've desperately been praying for. Like, yes, please tell us, what was it all about? So here is one short, predictable answer which you might get at any faculty of law in North America. It was about, quote, learning to think like a lawyer.
Ah, mais n'est-ce pas un cliché usé à la corde, largement vide de sens? Apprendre à penser comme un juriste, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire après tout?
Well, I'd like to turn this cliché on its head by shrinking it until it's gone. I will go from learning to think like a lawyer to learning to think to learning, and then poof, we can all go for an ice cream cone if we can still feel like it. So first, for many people, thinking like a lawyer is about getting into arguments and saying no. I can see some parents and spouses nodding back there.
Le juriste est un empêcheur de tourner en rond.
If you have a project, many people think, any project, the lawyer will give you the countless ways in which it will fail. Can't do this. There's a rule against that.
Laisse-moi t'expliquer pourquoi tu as tort.
Say tomato, and the lawyer will say tomato, and will back it up with a 25-page brief.
Mais vous savez maintenant que cette image est réductrice, une mauvaise caricature.
To think like a lawyer is to think about solutions, not obstacles. The lawyer is a problem solver, an enabler, the person who helps others to do together what they really want to do. To use Lon Fuller's beautiful phrase, the lawyer is a creative architect of social structures.
C'est ainsi que la faculté imagine votre avenir. Les parcours professionnels que vous envisagez sont différents les uns des autres, mais tous et toutes, vous avez désormais ce pouvoir de fortifier, je dirais de nourrir, même décupler les projets des autres. Le pouvoir de leur donner cohérence et légitimité, le pouvoir aussi d'en assurer le succès.
So maybe that is what those 4 years, or three, were all about.
Apprendre à penser comme un juriste, c'est d'abord et avant tout réfléchir au meilleur usage qu'on puisse faire du pouvoir qui réside au cœur du droit pour se mettre au service des autres.
A lot of people also imagine that thinking like a lawyer is about a certain perspective on the world that is made up of rules, formalities, sanctions, analytical rigor, and intellectual discipline. They see lawyers as boring people who think in rigid little boxes. I can still see some parents and spouses nodding back there. And it is true that lawyers pay attention to the logic of rules, the meaning of words, the organization of ideas, and the strengths and weaknesses of arguments. And in that narrow sense, one might even say that learning to think like a lawyer is essentially about learning to think. So there you have it. Perhaps this is what those 4 years were all about, learning how to think, period. Now, I acknowledge that there is something both pretentious and insulting about this idea, as was said by the novelist David Foster Wallace in a convocation address I read a few years ago. It is pretentious. At least some of the world's greatest thinkers never went to law school. And is insulting because smart students already know how to think by the time they make it to university. Maybe they don't know how to clean their room, but none of you needed to learn how to think, at least not in this narrow sense of a rigid, formal rationality. Indeed, the idea of thinking as a disciplined, predictable, and rational activity is only half the picture. In this law school, learning to think is about the other half of the picture as well. It's about mastering complexity and uncertainty, discovering the ability to hold in one's head both structure and chaos, the universal and the idiosyncratic, the clear and the mushy. One good way to understand this is to think concretely of our relationship to time.
Vous venez de traverser la Seine pour recevoir votre diplôme.
Certains souriaient, pleuraient, tremblaient. Je parie que plusieurs d'entre vous n'en avaient aucun souvenir. Vous vous rappelez de ce qui s'est passé avant et après, mais pas de votre passage sur la scène. Il n'en reste rien. Up the stairs, down the stairs, yes, but nothing in between. Le temps s'est accéléré, ou peut-être s'est arrêté. How do we explain that? How does time expand or shrink in this way? How is it, for instance, that 3-minute ride on one of the faculty's elevators takes longer than a 3-hour closed book exam? Now, over thousands of years, we've found increasingly precise tools to measure time, from solar dials to atomic clocks, and we now have instruments that can keep time with utmost accuracy down to 30 billionths of a second per year. But time still feels enormously subjective. Sometimes it flies, oftentimes it's painfully slow. Perceptions of time also vary across cultures. Time can be linear, it can be cyclical. What it means to be late, to waste time, to have good timing are all eminently personal. But the fact that you're subjectively experiencing this speech as endless drivel at this point does not change our capacity to measure with precision the time that has passed since I stood up. 9 minutes and 48 seconds. So one cannot understand the concept of time without holding together in one's head both the objective measure of time and the ways in which time is subjectively experienced by each of us. And so it is with law and with learning to think, at least in our faculty. Law is both there objectively and subjectively perceived, and it's experienced differently from one culture to the next. Le droit est fait de règles et d'institutions explicites, mais aussi de beaucoup de non-dits et d'implicites. And to think clearly about law, you have to keep all these moving parts in your head. At McGill, you struggled with the challenge of dealing with different legal traditions, 2 languages, layers of micro-legal and international norms, and the ground was constantly moving beneath your feet. This, maybe, is what those 4 years were about. Learning to think in the plural, with a mind that is attuned to the unspoken, the subjective, and the other. So, learning to think like a lawyer, down to learning to think, what about learning, period? Learning for its own sake. Learning as a way of being in the world. I want to close on this, but allow me to take a detour. Last weekend, I ran a half marathon in Ottawa. This is something that people my age will do for all sorts of unspeakable reasons, not least of which is the ability to brag about it in the presence of a large audience. The half marathon felt like an eternity. To be precise, as Woody Allen would say, eternity is a very long time, especially towards the end. J'ai découvert qu'il y a 2 façons de courir une telle longue distance, une bonne façon et une mauvaise façon. La mauvaise façon, c'est de se concentrer sur soi-même, sur sa moyenne au kilomètre, en regardant sa montre, en monitorant son rythme cardiaque et respiratoire et en cherchant toutes les petites douleurs qui apparaissent au fil du parcours. C'est la mauvaise façon. La bonne façon, c'est d'être attentif, alerte, allumé tout au long du parcours et d'absorber l'énergie qui est générée par les spectateurs et par les autres coureurs autour de vous. Long distance running is best and most rewarding if one's mind is turned on, and most importantly, outwards. In the same way, learning for its own sake is about one's mind being turned on and outwards at all times, critical, attentive, welcoming, curious, alert, and aware. Again, as David Foster Wallace put it, being learned, being educated, is to have the freedom not to become hypnotized by routine, by Facebook, by boredom, and boredom will come, or by the monologue in your head, and that is perhaps happening now. Learning as a way of being in the world is about resisting the natural urge to become a zombie. It's about resisting the lazy comfort of an unexamined life. It is about building total awareness of one's own choices, decisions, and aspirations. And this, my friends, surely is what these 4 years at McGill have been about. These versions of learning to think like a lawyer, the problem solver, the pluralist, the self-aware, all bring to mind our 2 colleagues who passed away this year, H. Patrick Glenn and Roderick McDonald,
both masters in the difficult art of being, of truly being in the world. They were alert, engaged, and critically self-aware, and you, each and every one of you, the members of the class of 2015, are just like Rod McDonald and Patrick Glenn. This is how we see you, and this is why we're so proud of you. This keen spirit of yours was already there when you sat in the moot court a few years ago on the first day of the journey that ends today. I dare say that spirit is still intact. Nothing you've done at McGill has altered it. I hope some of what you've done here, with our help, has fortified it. On behalf of my colleagues, the very fortunate professors of the Faculty of Law at McGill University, I would like to thank you for sharing with us a bit of your spirit and a bit of your rich, diverse, and compelling lives with us over the past 4 years. Longue vie à la promotion 2015.
Bien dit, Monsieur le Doyen. Thank you very much. Will the graduating class please rise? Je demande à tous les diplômés de se lever. À titre de chancelier de l'Université McGill, je déclare et confirme que chacun de vous a maintenant le droit à la distinction de grade, diplôme ou certificat qui vous a été conféré avec tous les honneurs, droits, privilèges et responsabilités qui y sont pertinents. Congratulations to you all. Félicitations. Please remain standing as the Secretary General, Mr. Stephen Stropel, delivers the benediction. Mr. Stropel.
Go now in peace and share the gifts of learning that have been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of knowledge for the benefit of all. Du que nous venions et où que nous allions, humble et plein d'espoir, nous les aurons guidés par l'amitié et la solidarité, et nous grandirons en sagesse. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you, Mr. Stropel. To conclude our ceremony, Professor Winston Purdy will lead us in the singing of the national anthem.
Thank you. myself again. I go with your childish bullshit.